Good morning. This morning I want to talk briefly, just for a few minutes, about a few different things, actually. Look at some basics that we might not have ever thought about before, but they were brought to my attention, and it stunned me. It's simple to think about, but it's amazing. All across this world, especially right now, it seems like there are horrible things going on. But that's not new. There's always been a need for people. Mankind has always had a need for support and for someone to look to. But people, I don't think, always look to God and resort to the Bible because they're quick to say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, that's different. It was different then. Well, I don't think that's true. And so just simply, let's discuss whether or not the Bible is still relevant today. So to start, just simply look at the Bible. The Bible is 66 books written over 1,500 years by over 40 different writers in 3 different languages on 3 different continents. 1,500 years is a long time. If we go back from 1,500 years from right now, we're at 523 AD. There's not even a British Empire yet. That's a long time. And 40 different authors. Authors from all different walks of life. There's kings, there's prisoners, there's soldiers, shepherds, tax collector. But all these books, written over 1,500 years, and all these differences make perfect sense together. They're perfectly harmonized, and they go. To think about that a little further, over the last 1,500 years, let's pick 40 random authors, ask them to write one chapter of a novel, and then we'll put it together and see if it makes any sense. Probably not. A little bit more specifically, the Old Testament. The Old Testament is 39 books, written over 1,100 years. The last book of the Old Testament was written 400 years before Jesus was born. All through the Old Testament, there's prophecies about a coming Messiah. But these books were written, and the authors of the writers of these books lived in different generations, spoke different languages. They could not communicate. They didn't only predict, though, Jesus' coming. They predicted details about him. Things like he'd ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, that he'd be born in Bethlehem, that he would be crucified, he'd be betrayed by a friend. Specifics. They made over 300 predictions about Jesus, and the last prediction was made 400 years before Jesus was born. And Jesus fulfilled all 300 of those prophecies. So there's a scientist named Peter Stoner, Dr. Peter Stoner. He was held a really high role at a couple different colleges, but he's an expert in probability. We all know what probability is. If you have 10 tennis balls, you paint one red and put them on a bucket, reach in and grab one tennis ball, the likelihood of you picking out the red tennis ball is 1 in 10. Well, he's an expert at this. So he wanted to know what was the probability that anybody could fulfill, any man on earth could fulfill any of these prophecies. He didn't do his work alone. He employed 600 science students from 12 different universities to help him. And they worked over months trying to do their research and their calculations. Now, before I show you what I'm going to show you, I want you to hear this and remember that after they finished, the National American Scientific Association, or the Scientific Council, reviewed their work. And they found that not only was their work accurate, but it was conservative. So keep that in mind. So he wants to know, what are the chances that a human being on earth, from the time that Christ was born to the end of the second millennium, 2,000 years, could fulfill just 8 prophecies? And they chose 8. Here are the 8. That Christ to be born in Bethlehem, Christ to be preceded by a messenger. Isaiah and Malachi were in completely different generations when they wrote that. That Christ would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah, again, in a totally different generation when he wrote that. that he would be betrayed by a friend, the psalmist. Again, completely different generation when he wrote that. And then there's the rest of the eight. They want to know, what are the chances that any man, random person, could have fulfilled just eight of those prophecies? That number is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. I don't even know that number, but I can tell you it's not bajillion kajillion. But I can illustrate it. If you have that many silver dollars, you have no place on earth to store them. That many silver dollars would cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars. Now, gather all those silver dollars in, mark one of them. Redistribute them all across Texas. Take somebody from Oklahoma, blindfold him, put him in a helicopter, fly across Texas. It takes 2 days to drive across Texas. Fly him across Texas, and at any point he can say, drop. You drop him down, still blindfolded, he reaches down, and he picks the one marked. That's the likelihood that anybody could fulfill eight prophecies. And Jesus fulfilled all 300. So he goes further. He said, what about 16 prophecies? That's 1 in 10 to the 45th power. So still using silver dollars. You cannot store them anywhere on earth. You have to make a sphere. You have to make a ball of silver dollars. The size of that ball, that sphere, is 60 times the distance of the earth to the sun. If you want miles, that's 5.5 billion miles in diameter. Same thing. Mark one of them. Put them back in. They're all mixed up again. Blindfold a guy. Put him in a jet. Start flying. It'll take 400 years nonstop to fly all the way around that sphere. But at any time, he can say drop down, and the likelihood if he picks the one, which he might have to dig 2 billion miles into the center of it, that's the likelihood of him of anybody fulfilling 16 prophecies. And Jesus fulfilled all 300. So he goes one step further, and he says, what about 48 prophecies? That's 1 in 10 to the 157th power. So that's a 1 with 157 zeros behind it. So we can't use silver dollars anymore. We got to use something a little bit smaller. So let's go to an electron. This is an atom. We all understand atoms. Maybe not entirely, but we know we're made of them. They're tiny. The blue dots on the atom is an electron. They're smaller, they're by quite a bit, than an atom. So you have a ball of atoms. That's the size, that's how many 1 in 10 to the 157th power is. If you have that many electrons, it would make a ball. That size of that sphere would be as far, the diameter would be as far as anybody's ever seen into space. That's 13 billion light years. Once again, mark an electron. Take off flying around it. He can drop down. He picks the one marked electron. That is the likelihood that anybody could fulfill 48 prophecies. So let's recap for just a second. The Old Testament is 39 books written over 1,100 years, and they all have predictions about a coming Messiah. And the last one of those predictions was made 400 years before Jesus was born. 400 years back from now, everything's different. It was made 400 years before Jesus was born, and Jesus fulfilled all 300 prophecies. And you want to say that the Bible doesn't apply today? That God doesn't know what we need? We all know that the Bible is true, and that the promises that God has made to us still apply today. They weren't just to who they were written to at the time. But we serve a God that takes care of us and that knows us. And we're here today because we're convicted of that. And we're sure that He deserves our praise. Matthew 11:28, very familiar scripture, says, come to me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He offers it to us, but we know it. Not everyone does. Romans 10. If you'd like to turn with me, Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? For it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, by hearing by the word of God. We know it. We have it. But not everyone does. It's our job as Christians to make sure that people do know it. We need to be telling our friends, especially those who are having difficulties, God wants them to come to him, and he wants to take care of them, and he wants their soul. Remember that when we're talking to our friends. Thank you.